I'm thinking about the commemoration of All Souls, November 2nd, for which I celebrated Mass this morning in pain. Do we pray for souls that are in heaven? Do we pray for souls that are in heaven? For example, could I say a prayer to God that he help Pope St. John Paul II in his need? Or could I say a prayer to God asking him to come to the aid of St. Faustina? Do we pray for souls that are in heaven, like these two saints? The answer is an emphatic no. We don't pray for saints, because they do not need our prayers. They are fully satisfied, experiencing the beatific vision of God, his beauty, his glory, his love, that absolutely radiates into their being, such that they have no other desire, certainly no need that would require us to come to their aid with prayer. So we don't pray for saints in heaven. What we do pray for on the commemoration of All Souls on November 2nd, so at this weekend's Mass, as we are praying for the souls of parishioners who have died in this past year, lighting an intercessory candle for each one of them, as we read their name at the end of our petitions, on such occasions as this, we are praying for people who must go through purgatory, people who need some purification to happen before they can fully experience heaven. It's the case that when most of us die, there is still in us some impurity, some filth, some sinfulness. That stuff has to be taken care of before we can enjoy the presence of God's fiery holiness in heaven. You see, sin transforms us. Sin always warps our humanity. Grave sin warps it significantly, whereas smaller sins, venial sins, don't do as much damage. But even those sins do cause damage. Every good choice, every holy action we make in life forms us positively towards our heavenly goal, building up our human nature the way it was meant to be. On the contrary, every bad choice, every sinful action we make in life deforms us, warps our humanity, setting us back, separating us a bit more from our heavenly goal. Pope Benedict XVI in the year 2007 wrote an encyclical called By Hope We Are Saved. In it, he describes how a person could actually make such radically bad choices, full of hatred for God and humanity, and become so hardened in that negative state that any repair would be impossible. That humanity is twisted in a way that is irreparable, bound by evil, such that at the end of life there's an isolation from God, and hell forever is the result. On the other hand, somebody could choose for God so fully, allowing God's love to guide decisions totally, so that that person's being could go straight to heaven. However, it is very, very rare that a soul would actually go straight to heaven. Most of us are somehow compromised with sin, with impurity, with filth that is below us and incompatible with God. So there has to exist this just and merciful process to purify a person who has died, yet whose nature is not so hardened against God that it must go to hell, but whose nature is also not so perfect that he could stand immediately in the presence of God's fiery holiness. For most people, there has to be a purifying process, and that is purgatory. It's for those people in purgatory, experiencing the process of transformation from imperfection to perfection. It's for those people that we pray in Holy Mass, especially with the commemoration of All Souls. Jesus' holy presence, especially in the Eucharist, should inspire us always to choose the holy action rather than the evil action, preparing us for our own death and lessening the need for purgatory. If we are seeing Jesus' light fully enough, we will want to enter into him more deeply, be more deeply in communion with him. That means we will turn away from sin. Realizing his holiness should have that effect on us. Look at our gospel today. Zacchaeus is a pretty big sinner. He is a chief tax collector who has extorted plenty of money from people. At the meal in Zacchaeus' house, we are not even told whether Jesus said a word to Zacchaeus about all that he has done wrong. Yet Zacchaeus suddenly stands up and proclaims that he will make fourfold restitution to anybody whom he has wronged, and he will give away half of his possessions to the poor. What made Zacchaeus do that? Well, it was the presence of Jesus. Zacchaeus sensed the holiness of Jesus, and sin does not mix with holiness. Zacchaeus' heart was open to the light that radiates from Jesus. He realized his sins blocked that light. I am so afraid as a pastor that perhaps I do not make it clear enough to people that we cannot have the light of Jesus if we choose sin. It's very interesting in Pope Benedict's work that he says the process of purification in purgatory is centered on the very person of Jesus Christ. He says Jesus himself is the purgatory fire that purifies in a very painful way, applying God's justice to our sinfulness. At the same time, however, showing us great mercy by this very act of purification. Because without the purification, we could not finally be united to God. What a great mercy is the process of purgatory on our souls. Well, I'm afraid that sometimes Catholics don't realize Jesus is a fire. We treat him sometimes just as a puppy dog who will come and meet our needs and make us happy and do whatever we command when we want it. Well, Jesus Christ is the fiery judge of the world. Have we become numb to that reality? Think of the Eucharist. We casually receive the Eucharist. But the Eucharist is fiery Jesus. And if we come to the Eucharist unworthily, with grave sin on our souls, we take in a fire of condemnation. What is happening to the soul that has learned casually to reach out a hand and take Jesus in a state of sin? There's a callousness that is really dangerous when it comes to the possibility of salvation. If somebody is committing fornication, cohabiting couples, for example, or adultery, the Eucharist should not be received. It's not spiritually healthy. If somebody is looking at impure things on the internet, the Eucharist should not be received. If somebody is stealing, the Eucharist should not be received. If somebody is trying to ruin another's life, the Eucharist should not be received. If somebody has killed innocent life in the womb, the Eucharist should not be received. If somebody has skipped Sunday Mass without grave reason, such as sickness or work hours beyond one's control, the Eucharist should not be received. If a couple is contracepting, the Eucharist should not be received. If a priest has committed mortal sin, he should not celebrate Mass until he can get to confession. It's mercy for a pastor to say this, Because Jesus is the fire we will meet at the end of life. And it's that same Jesus who is fire whom we meet in the Holy Eucharist. Like Zacchaeus at the meal in his home, let's stand up in front of Jesus and deal with sin. Before coming to this sacred sacrificial meal, Holy Mass, let's confess grave sin in the confessional. I really worry about the soul that thinks Jesus does not care about sinfulness. That is not a healthy spiritual state to be in. Let's run to Jesus in the confessional with grave sin before walking up this aisle to receive his fiery holiness into us casually, as if sin does not matter. The commemoration of all souls, helping our departed loved ones by our prayers and sacrifice, especially the sacrifice of Holy Mass, it's all about remembering the perfect justice of God combined with his great mercy, both expressed perfectly in the process of purgatory. Like Zacchaeus, turning from sin as he realized Jesus' holiness at supper, let's acknowledge Jesus' amazing, beautiful holiness, his fire here in the Eucharist.